Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I'm joined, of course, by my luminary co-host, Chris Castain. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. Our second surprise podcast of the day.
Well, this one was scheduled, actually.
Today.
A peek behind the curtain. This podcast is being recorded on Wednesday. This podcast will drop most likely Thursday night or Friday.
I have not made an executive decision yet.
Depending on what I decide. So, I believe that, so that's what Chris is talking about. The episode you've listened, that is just before this one, was recorded last second. This one is right on schedule, though. So that's a good thing. Well, like 9 minutes late, but it doesn't matter. How was the chili that you cooked for dinner?
It was good. I didn't cook it, but it was good.
Hold on. Wait, what? So you were like, no, dude, I gotta go to the store, and then I gotta cook dinner. You didn't have to cook dinner.
No.
Do you lie to me?
No, I said I had to get stuff to cook it.
You said you had to make dinner.
No, I did not. I did not mean that. If
that's no, what I said. You did say that.
I did not say that, sir. Sir,
you did say that.
Sir, we've
you
already,
did say that. Already, check the tape.
We've debated
check
multiple inaccuracies the today.
Tape.
We've debated check multiple in.
Check the tape.
I'm about to mute you. So
check the
statement
tapes. All I'm saying.
Well, you've already been wrong a couple of times today, starting this morning with the take this morning that I posted.
But
then a couple more, so we're going to have to side with me, of course, again, as usual.
Damn it! Come on. This isn't... Oh, man.
This is but very fair. This
check the
very
tape!
You've been inaccurate too many times already.
You
got to
check the tape. I promise you.
We'll check the tape. I check tapes all the time.
Okay, this is pointless to argue about. Anyways.
I put checks on tapes.
We have this podcast because I'm fired up about the direction the NFL's going. And that's in a bad way. And maybe it's because I fundamentally misunderstand the rule, but I don't think so.
It is.
I don't think so. So
I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure I'm
not in all
crazy.
In all seriousness, we're gonna try to calm down. We're gonna try to have an adult conversation. We're gonna try to go pros and cons, a little back and forth debate. I am trying to not interrupt Chris as much. That hasn't gone well early, but I think that we can come away with this with a pretty solid show. But yeah, this is the state of the union of football, as it were. Like, how is the game of football? Is it still a leading sport in our country? Is it still an A-plus sport, in our opinions? So,
let me tell you something. We will find out soon if it's going to be a good podcast or not.
Okay, we will find out soon if it will be
very
a good
soon
podcast or not. Okay, so, yeah, before we start, I just wanted to, because we are a personality-driven podcast, that was one of our off-season goals. So, my question of the day, totally unprepared, but you shouldn't have to be prepared to answer this question.
I probably do.
For Christian Castain is, what is your favorite type of ice cream, not vanilla or chocolate?
Oh my gosh, there's only one other kind. Strawberry.
You like strawberry?
Actually, I like strawberry, but I like caramel. There's a ice cream that has caramel. But
yeah.
I actually like a lot of ice creams. I'm a big ice cream fan.
Give me your top.
I would say my
three.
My favorite of all the others that aren't chocolate and vanilla would be cookies and cream. That's like the best. Strawberry would be third, and then there's a caramel ice cream, and I would put it second.
All right, I think that for me, I'd have to go with I like sherbet a lot. I'm a big fan of like anything that's multicolored and is like colorful. Like I know some people hate that kind of ice cream, but anything that's really colorful, like I'll eat that. I'm not a big chocolate guy. It's too rich. I like butter pecan, but there's bad butter pecan. So you got to get the butter pecan just right. And then of course mint chocolate chip, you got to love that. But it's got to be green. I don't know why, like it's just added food coloring, I know, but it's got to be green. I don't like the kind where it's white with the chocolate chips. It's got to be green.
Yeah, for me chocolate, I'm not a big fan of chocolate ice cream. Like it's just something about it is too much. For me, it's too much chocolate, I guess. What? It's weird. I drink chocolate milk all the time, but I don't eat chocolate ice cream. I don't drink it. But yeah, I don't eat chocolate ice cream. Not really.
All right. Well, that was the personality segment of our show. I think it went well.
Yeah, very well.
All right, State
of
the Union.
Now let's go to stuff that might not go so well.
All right, let's get to the State of the Union football. Let's start with this new rule change that the NFL made yesterday, arguably making the game not necessarily worse, but more complicated. The rule is playing rule Article 8.
Inaccurate
the
early.
Official rule. This is straight from the PDF that is the NFL rulebook, so there is no dispute. This is the law. Playing rule Article 8. It is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. The player may be disqualified. Applies to any player anywhere on the field. The player may be disqualified. Now, Chris,
yeah.
What you don't, I don't think you grasp the fullness of this rule. The rule says that you cannot make contact with your helmet against an opponent, period. So if you're leaning down to wrap up and your helmet touches your opponent in any way, that is an ejection.
Well, it's tough because this rule reminds me of just like what it is in college. But in college, it's more of the type of hit you make. It's not you can touch somebody with your helmet and you're not going to get ejected. I don't like the details of this where it says basically anybody that, like you said, anybody that touches a... If your helmet touches somebody's shoulder pads or something, you're getting ejected. I don't like that part necessarily. I'm not a huge fan of it, but for the most part, I still think of it as the college rule.
That prevents fundamental tackling, though, because you have to wrap up and your head in some way makes contact with a player's body when you wrap up. Letter of the law, almost every tackle in the NFL last year would have been an ejection.
No, it wouldn't have been every tackle.
Most.
I can't say most.
Every big hit that's not just pushing the player out of bounds.
But you're not hitting with your head, your helmet. Not necessarily.
Right, but you have, for fundamentally good tackling, you have to get low, you have to wrap up, and your head, at some point, lowers and is used as a point of contact. Not necessarily. I don't think you understand what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is when you wrap up, your head goes down, does it not?
Not necessarily.
If you are getting low, if you have to lower... Okay, do
yeah,
this
if you're
for
getting
me.
Low,
if
but,
you're, yeah, but... that's the point of fundamental tackling. If you lower your shoulder, your head's going to go down with your shoulder. And if your head even glances the outside of another player, that is your helmet making contact with another player, and that is an ejection, and that is not a good rule.
I don't think that's where I'm getting to. Is I think how far they went with this rule is a little ridiculous. I think if you're going to copy the college rule and say that a Which we know helmet to helmet hits is going to be an injection anyway. I think I don't disagree with the rule because it helps safety. That's the only thing it is. It's safety. You have to watch for the safety of the players because that's how they make their money. That's how the NFL makes their money. So for that purpose, I think I understand. Well, I don't think I understand. You have to put this type of rule in place.
But on the same hand,
I don't agree with the severity of the rule. I don't agree with how far they've taken the rule.
I don't think you understand how big a difference this makes. I get that this was because of a Ryan Shazier injury. I get that. But that hit that Ryan Shazier made was not head-to-head, was not dangerous. He just, it was a one-in-a-million thing that the angle was just off by a split second, and it hurt him. Yeah. And that tackle was completely legal. That was a fundamental tackle. Under this new rule, he would have been ejected for that hit.
Yeah,
that's why they did it.
I mean, but, and then, do you have to look at the other hand? This is a very picky play because
that's a safe hit that Ryan Shazier did. He just got unlucky.
Yeah, but the league can't take that kind of risk anymore.
So are they just done? So tackle football's done, right? So you can't hit people anymore?
I think they're eliminating any risk, any possible risk of there being an injury because of tackle. That's what this is doing. Because you can't. The problem is with the league. You can't make it like if a player hits hard with their head, because who knows what the referee's gonna judge as a hard hit. I mean, that's when everybody's gonna start looking at the league like rigged again, because you're gonna have one play that's gonna be somebody hitting so hard and they're gonna eliminate them, and then another play will be basically the same and you're gonna have the same player in. It's similar to the catch rule. They have to simplified, and this makes it real simple. Is if your head is hitting somebody if your helmet's hitting somebody, you're going to be disqualified. I mean, so they're kind of in a tough situation because they can't make something less. If they make something more picky, then there's more of a chance that a ref is going to mess it up. And we know how NFL officials are. They mess things up. They're not the best officials.
This isn't a good rule then, because it's gonna.
It's
I guarantee you, off
players.
Of this rule, off of this rule, I guarantee you there will be at least 30 ejections this year, total. And that's way too many to have.
I don't know if there'll be that many. I really don't.
But,
I don't think
you don't get it.
They're gonna train their players where they're not gonna do that. This isn't gonna cause that many. As like if we were playing tomorrow, yeah, it would.
And I don't want to give the impression that I'm against player safety. I'm all for making the game safer. The
right.
problem is not the rule; it is the language of the rule and the fact that it is saying if you tackle someone and your head touches them, or you lead with your head, which you have to do when you lower your shoulder, that's an ejection.
Well, okay, so
Are running backs not going to be able to truck people anymore? Because you physically have to lower your shoulder, which includes lowering your head to truck someone.
Well,
that's contact, is it not? Just answer my question before you make your point. Is or is not trucking an opponent an ejection at this point?
Most likely is.
Right!
But here's the thing.
That hurts the game of football.
Let me make sure to say you're not against the rule itself, but you think the rule should be more specific and more intel than it really is. Am I correct? If not,
yeah, I think the language is too broad because
okay,
there's just
too basic.
Say you have a play where you have two players on the same team coming in to tackle an offensive player. And in the or a player trying to make a hit while they go up for the ball. And in the process of falling down, gravity, which, sure, hate to break it to NFL GMs, but gravity isn't going to change for you. Gravity takes your helmet and you fall head first into your opponent. That's an ejection.
You know, gravity changes when rules are changed.
Bullshit. Do you understand what I'm saying, though? People think that I'm crazy for hating this rule, but it's just, it's the new catch. What I meant when I sent out the tweet that said the new hit rule is the new catch rule is because it's exactly true. Because there are going to be, it's going to slow the game down so much more, and it's going to hurt the game.
I just don't think it's going to hurt the game as much as you say. Well, it's going to hurt from a fan side because you're not going to see as much. You're not going to see hard hitting and stuff you're used to seeing. Like you're thinking that player is playing really hard. You're not going to be able to see that as much. I could see where a fan side's coming from, but the league has to look more at the players. So that, I guess they kind of have to do, they don't really, they're in a tough spot. And then, like I said, the problem with if they were to make this rule more specific and better, I don't think it's an awesome rule. It's too basic. You're literally saying if a helmet touches another person or another player, you're disqualified, which is, I think, is ridiculous. But if they made it more specific, you have to look at the officials. Now, you have to admit that the NFL officials aren't the best officials.
No officials are. That's the point of sports. There's human error.
Yeah, but the people get the feeling that it's rigged when you start looking at, not, I'm talking about fans.
Which is not true.
Fans start to think the league is rigged.
You think the NFL is rigged? That's an honest question for you. Do you believe the NFL is rigged?
You know, I think about it a lot. Well, not a lot, but I've thought about it in the past. And I can't really, there's really no concrete evidence that says yes. So I'm going to say no based off
right.
of that. So, but you know what I'm saying? People, you know, there starts getting rumors about the league being rigged when the Patriots get five
whatever.
Calls.
That's a bunch of whiny crybabies on Twitter who can't stand see a team's success.
There's a lot more people that think that.
Okay,
really
cool.
Believe.
You can't please everyone, but that doesn't mean a bad call does not mean a game is rigged. If you believe that, I don't know.
I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying there are plenty of people out there that would say.
Well, right, because those people are freaking retarded.
Because the problem I'm getting to a point here with this.
Stupid. Pardon me. Pardon my language.
It doesn't matter. We don't have to be PG-13. But anyway, the point I'm getting to is you have an NFL.
It's 2018. We don't use that word anymore. Sorry.
Oh my ass. The point is you got, say you had two teams, let's say the Rams and the Patriots were playing and another game was going. You have the Patriots player, say, this
okay,
is a
okay,
prime
okay.
example.
But this is,
do you,
do you I'm
see
gonna,
where I'm going?
Yes, yes. Okay. I'm going to rein us back in on track here because we've gotten off topic. Yes, people are going to bitch about the NFL officials no matter what.
It's not going to be. I'm not talking about just the fans. You're going to have to start where it starts to be teams complaining because
everybody does it.
Because one Patriots player hits somebody else harder and they don't get disqualified, but another team's player hits somebody on the other side and they're going to get disqualified. That's why they can't make the rule specific.
What do you mean they can't make the rule specific?
Well, they can, but if they do, they're just going to have complaints about another team. They're going to have a Patriots player hitting somebody else under the helmet hard, and then you're going to have another player do the same exact thing, and they're going to get disqualified, and people are going to say it's the Patriots. So there's going to be, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, let's move back to this hit rule.
Yeah.
Let me just kind of frame it in a different light. I get the player safety concerns. I get that people don't want to see these things like Ryan Shazier happen. I understand that, and no one wants to see it happen, but I just, moving this to a different lens, like, I think you could give your opinion once I finish here, but I think the American people just have realized that the game of football is barbaric in nature. It's not supposed to be safe. It has never been designed to be safe, and it's not going to be a safe league. And if you have moral problems with that, I understand. Better on you for that. But the NFL's allure comes from contact. And if you try to take contact out of the game, then you don't have the same sport anymore.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I guess this signals to me kind of the beginning of the end for football. And maybe that's an overreaction on my part. It probably is. But America doesn't realize that football in its nature is barbaric. What do you kind of think about these rules? Are they bad for the sport physically itself? Not for the league, not for the American people, not for the players. Is this rule bad for the sport of football?
No, because you're going to stop the amount of concussions.
That's looking at player perspective. I'm talking about the game itself, the way the game is played.
I mean, it's not going to help because it's just not going to be. It's going to change the way the players have to play. So it's not helping necessarily, but I understand the point. But I was going to ask you, do you have more of a problem with a player cannot make contact with a helmet against the opponent, or do you have a problem with if they do, they'd be disqualified? Would you rather them see lessen the severity of the punishment for doing that, or would you rather them change up the other side of the rule?
Yes, lessen the severity of the punishment. But what the NFL does, and they do this with everything, they make it black and white, which is not the way anything in the world works. You cannot have a rule that says, if this happens, this person's done. You have to put severity into consideration. And at some point, even though I get what you said about people think the refs are rigged, fuck what people think. Like, let the game official make a decision based on the rule. Don't force the official to eject a player because there's head-to-body contact. I also want to clarify, head-to-head contact should absolutely be an ejection.
No doubt about it.
I'm not arguing that. But if this is head to anywhere. This is head to anywhere on the body. Like, that can't be a rule. Like, if you take
Heads
the head
leg.
Completely out of the game, it fundamentally changes the game and it hurts the game. You can take head-to-head collisions out of the game. That's good. That prevents CTE. That prevents concussions. This rule prevents one injury that happened to one player that was very unfortunate, that hasn't happened in years, that has only happened 3 times in NFL history. I looked it up. That if that were any other situation, Ryan Shazier would have walked away from that fine. But he just hit it at a little bit of a wrong angle, and that hurt him. But it's tough luck. It's not the game's fault. And you're hurting the game by doing this. That's my point. And I don't think people understand what I'm saying. I'm not against player safety. I'm not against eliminating head-to-head contact. I'm against fundamentally changing the entire consistency of a game because of one just random, really unfortunate injury.
Yeah, I mean, it was, that was kind of random, and it was kind of bad luck. injury. But I think that was just that just set it off. I don't think that was the start. I don't think that's the only reason this rule was made. I think they were looking at doing it anyway. So I would have to disagree with this is the only reason, or the main reason, because I think that they were trying to make rules safer anyway, based off of what we heard during the regular season and before Shazier got injured. You had players that you looked and it was it head to body contact and all that, all those questions. So, especially with like, you had a couple of Deion Jones hits on like Cam Newton. They kind of frowned on that. I just don't think this was the only thing. There was multiple moves that made them try to do this.
Yeah, we should, like I said, we're trying to move on. I think both of us have said all there is to say really about how we feel about the rule. Here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think the sport of football is too barbaric for the American society? I know that's a deep question, but I think it's a question we have to ask at this point.
You talk about for the fan or for the
for just players? Generally anyone. Well, I mean, anyone, not even a fan. Even just a random Joe on the street who doesn't follow the NFL, or even a fan. The NFL getting too barbaric for the American culture?
No, I don't think so. It shouldn't be. Like, if I were judging myself, no, I don't think it was, because I didn't see enough injuries to make me say that, so I would have to say no.
I would say yes, and here's really why. I think that you then, have
then
these...
again, we then again, I was basing it off me, so I could base it off somebody
right.
else and probably
that's not what probably. that's not what I'm asking though. I'm asking, I'll rephrase it again. Is football too barbaric for the American public? Do basic everyday Americans have a problem now with the physical and what some would call barbaric nature of football?
No. Nobody else. I don't think there's not. There was not enough people to say yes. So I don't think so. I don't think there's enough people to say that it's too barbaric for any American person, any other American person that's not in the league. I'm gonna say anybody that's not in the league, because anybody that's in the league thinks differently. So no, I'm gonna say no.
I would say yes, because these things happen, like these Shazier hits or these big hits, and people on Twitter, people on social media, people all across the country, and the NFL gets on CNN or NBC, and it's always for a bad reason, and they're always like, you can't have these massive collisions that just players have that cause these big injuries. It's just not good for these players, and you're hurting them, and it's and I know that sounds awful. I'm not against player safety, but I think the American public has forgotten that the root of football is physicality. It's not soccer, and soccer can at times be physical. I'm not saying that, but it's not soccer. It's not baseball. There is physicality every single play, and I just don't think the American reaction to it is going to allow it to exist into the long-term future.
I don't think the league's going to allow it to, because, you know, to sum this all
but
up...
But why would... Then I would make the argument that if the league doesn't allow it, then we just have to kill football, because... If the league is destroying the principles they are built on, then that league no longer exists, and they have basically admitted that football's an awful sport and we should get rid of it.
You know what football's going to turn into in 20 years? I think
what?
It's going to be a photocopy of what you see at the Pro Bowl. That's what it's going to be. That's just the truth of it.
That's just sad.
That's something, besides you might have a little more tackling, it might be a little better, but that's what it's going to be. That's what the feeling I'm getting, because they're starting to already kind of begin to do that. And we'll talk about that with another rule that we'll talk about that they're keep on talking about soon. But that's what I have the feeling is going to happen. And even if it's 20 years, what do you think?
I don't know. I think you're right, though. I think football is at a crossroads. I think that this is a point in American history where people are smart enough to look at the studies that come out on football and the CTE and the concussions and everything like that. And people are smart enough to look at it and say, I'm not going to let my kid play this, and I'm probably not going to support it. So that's going to either force the league to die off, or it's going to force the league to basically do what you said, which is change it to the Pro Bowl. And my question for you is, will football be around in 30 years?
I think it'll be around, but pretty much what I just, well, pretty much what I'm would be saying is,
it'll when be the... when does what okay? Then let me ask you this. Yeah. I'm just gonna keep asking until you think it disappears. 50 years from now, do you think it's still around?
That's a tough one. That's tough. I don't know. Maybe it might be around in 50. I doubt it. And if it is, it will be such a. It won't be the American sport anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
what do you think? Do you think it'll be around in 30 years or?
No, I don't think so. With the way it's going right now, I don't think so.
How many years do you think it'll be around then?
About 30 years. I don't think it'll be here in 30 years.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it'll be around in 50. I'll say 30. I think it'll make it that long. I can't say for sure. I think that, because I really hadn't thought about beyond 30. But I think it'll be here for 30.
I do want to clarify here. I know what we've said is said, you know, football is a physical game. I am, again, I want to say this. I'm all for player safety. I don't want to see players get CTE. I don't want to see players get concussions. That's not pleasant. I don't want that. What I'm saying is that's a part of the game. Whether you like it or not, that's just a part of the game that comes along with the game. And I just want to make it clear to the listener that I'm saying that. I'm not saying that I'm against player safety. I consider myself a proponent of player safety. I don't like how broad the new hit rule is. We've already gone over that. And I just don't... I don't like the fact that.
Yeah.
At some point, it comes down to your moral stance. And I don't. It makes me. Like, I'd rather see physical football than worry about changing the game to make it safer, if that means giving up physicality. And I know that sounds awful, but it's something that the American public has to struggle with at this point.
You're trying to take it from both sides. You're trying to take it from a fan side and you're trying to defend you're defending player safety, but at the same time, if you say you don't like this rule, I don't know. It's just a tough spot to be in. I see where you're coming from a fan standpoint or any other personnel standpoint, but from a league safety standpoint, you can't really say that. I don't know. It's a tough position to be in.
Right. Let's move on to another deeply philosophical debate about football. By the way, if you haven't figured that out yet, welcome to the State of the Union of Football. I think this episode has gone well so far. I'd consider this one of our best episodes.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely agree with you. Pretty good debate about topics that need to be talked about in football.
So let's talk a little bit about stadiums. There's big new stadiums being built. Of course, the Raiders have one that's currently being built. The Rams, theirs will be done by 2020, I believe. Don't quote me on that. Or maybe it's this year. I'm not quite exactly sure. Could you look that up?
What is that again?
The Rams' new stadium.
2019, but, I think.
2019? I thought it was 2020 for some reason.
Let's see. I'll let you know in just a second.
Bad podcasting by us.
Let's see.
What are we at?
I'm looking. 2020.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
2020.
Yeah,
2021.
Wow, okay, that's a long ways off. Yeah, so 2021 is when that stadium will be done. Chris, you know this firsthand. You live in Atlanta. They just got a new stadium. You look at Minnesota. They just got a new stadium. You look at all these teams that are getting new stadiums. The NFL raised the debt limits at this at the owners' meeting, which is where this all this stuff that we're going to talk about today came from the owners' meeting. So they raised the debt limit to go from $2.5 billion to $5.5 billion. And that means more taxpayer-needed money for the stadium. But the Rams owners are paying for a good portion of it. My question for you is this. Do you think taxpayers should pay for stadiums?
Nope, not at all. I'm highly against that because they're already paying for their tickets to go to the stadium. But anyway, hell no.
Is that it? No, like, is that your own the only reason of your argument?
I just, you know, and this is one of the ones I have really struggled with because I don't think that I'm against a lot of things taxpayers have to pay for, but an NFL stadium? Nope, the league should have to pay for that. You make the money. This is the league thing. This is an NFL team's, stadium. An NFL league stadium. The Rams, based off of what they get from, money, if Rams, for example, based off of ticket money, league money, get money from TVs, the league should have to pay for it. This should not be a taxpayer charge. I'm highly against it.
I agree, but let me play devil's advocate. Taxpayers should pay for their own stadium because you are getting something from it. It gives you a boost in your economy. It ups tourism. It helps the community, and really, it's not that much more of a tax than if you live in a large metropolitan city than you would have to pay for anything else you pay taxes on. A stadium is a service or good that a team provides to your county. You pay for taxes for roads and water, and all that stuff, services and goods that are provided to you by the government. Why can't you pay for a stadium? Why can't your taxes provide for a stadium?
Because you've already paid. You're paying your tickets to go to that stadium. I think that's what you're paying when you pay for stadium.
Right. You still pay your water bill, but you still pay taxes that help with dams in your area, and you still pay your car insurance, but you pay pay taxes to help with the maintenance of the infrastructure in your community. Like, what's the difference?
You do have a point, I guess, kind of, sort of, because, but my thing is you shouldn't, That is totally entertainment. It's not like it's a need for
Roads
them.
aren't a need either.
They're
you can
basically
walk, you can walk, you can walk, you can ride a bike, but
you can.
you still have to pay. Like, I peek inside my life. I don't currently have a car. I ride the bus every day, but I still have to pay taxes for the roads in my community. Like, even though I don't,
I guess it's
even though I don't have my own car and I can't drive on them, and even
there.
though I walk and ride my bike most of the time, like I and don't use and I could care less the condition of the road, I still have to pay taxes on the road.
Yeah, but that's owned by your county. Like, it's not the an NFL stadium is owned by the owner of the NFL team, pretty much. I mean, you're not
Right,
you're
there's
paying for
not
something.
I
You're paying for something you're using. You are using all these things. Just not every taxpayer is using that NFL stadium. You know.
Not every taxpayer is using public schools. Not every taxpayer has kids and is
Yeah,
funding
but that's owned by the public. It's
their
not owned
public
by an
schools.
NFL
No,
team.
no, no. Your point, you said that if you're not using it, you shouldn't have to pay for it.
Well, no, that's not what I should have. That's not what I was trying to lean towards. But I see what you're saying.
How okay?
I see what you're saying.
How is the public that asks? How is the government that asks you to pay taxes to maintain a bunch of different things—Social Security, Medicaid, schools—a bunch of stuff that you may not use,
But you might.
but you may. Okay, then to your point, how is that different from an NFL owner who asks you to pay a little bit for your stadium? Which you may
It's not
not
your
use,
stadium.
but you might.
But it's not your stadium. And if
But
and you are paying for it,
it's
if
not
you
your school either. It's not your roads.
Yeah, but
It's
that's not owned by
not
an
your.
NFL team. It's not owned by an NFL
Right, it's
team
owned
either.
by the government. What's the difference between an NFL owner and the government? Is my question.
Because
Where's the difference?
you can use the like the school or the road or whatever. You can use that anytime you want to. If you wanted to, if you
No,
you're
I can't. I'm not. I'm not.
for the most
A
part.
random okay, a random person can't go to a school and say, "Hey, I want to rent out this school because I
No,
pay
no.
taxpayer money on it."
No,
You can't do that.
you're not literally using it. Like, you're not gonna rent it. But I'm talking about you can have your kid go to that school, or you can go to that school anytime you want to, pretty
Right, you
much.
can do that same thing
No,
with
you can go while
an
the
NFL
game's being played.
stadium.
You can go while game's being played, but you can't.
Okay.
There's not an everyday use out of it. You can't just go in there and say, "I want to throw a football," and just throw a football anytime you want to.
Concerts, graduations,
Graduations are
big
not.
conventions.
I mean,
My graduation was held in a stadium.
yeah, like your some of them are
These are
local.
not just for football purposes. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The
There's
Atlanta soccer
concerts.
team plays there.
There's soccer team. There's concerts, but.
There's concerts, there's conventions, there's everything. I just don't I agree with you, and again, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but
But
I'm
you
playing
sound like
devil's
you don't.
advocate here. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's
Yeah, I do,
no different
but
than playing.
I don't. If you're making all these points, I don't understand how you agree with me then.
Because I can see both sides of an argument.
So how do you see the other side of the argument then? I want to hear the other side because I mean, I understand what you're saying with the whole situation. I know that all. I understand
The
what you're saying, but I don't.
argument you used, in my opinion, was flawed. My opinion is this: NFL owners are rich enough and have enough money to pay for their own stadiums. But to say that NFL stadiums shouldn't be paid for by taxpayers because you still have to pay to get to the games is ridiculous because you still have to pay for other things that you pay taxes on. That was the devil's advocate.
Yeah, I know
I
what you're saying.
understand
Yeah.
I understand both sides of the argument, this was a good debate. Any last
But
words before we move on here?
no. I think we've pretty much cleared it up. I think.
Okay.
I mean, we do have our disagreements there, but I mean, we both see the same point, I think, in the end.
Okay. All right. New catch rule. Again, this is straight from the NFL rule book. So they redeveloped the meaning of a catch. So let's start. One, you have to have control of the ball. So if you go up, you grab the ball, you possess the ball. I consider possessing the ball having it firmly in your hands or to your chest. You can't be bobbling it, but which I think is still a problem because I believe a bobble is as good as a catch. 2 feet down or any other body part, nothing changes there. And then a football move, this is a part where it gets convoluted again, but less so. A third step, reaching or extending for the line to gain or the pylon. So say you go up, say the Dez Bryant catch where he goes up, he comes down and he reaches out to go for the goal line and the ball comes out and he's down, that they didn't call a catch. That would have been a catch. Or the ability to perform such an act, still a little bit broad, but the main part of this article I was reading, that the main thing they did was you no longer have to survive the ground. So if you catch the ball, if you have control, if you have your feet in and you land on the ground and the ball jars a little bit,
yep,
that's still a catch. Wow. So the Steelers catch would still would be a catch. What do you think of this new catch rule, Chris?
I like it. It's improved. It's going to improve the game as far as offensively goes, of course. I think there was such a question they had to change the rule. And it was, I think it was basically 32 teams voted yes on it, or 31. Mm-hmm.
32-0, passed unanimously.
Okay, I thought it would. Or I thought it did. But anyway, I do like the rule. You don't have to survive the ground. So if you hit yourself, or you hit the ground and the ball bobbles out or whatever, it's not a drop. As it would have been before, which I didn't agree with it. If you have possession if you have 2 feet touching the ground and you drop it, it should have been a fumble, or it should be a possession because you had possession of the ball at the time before you dropped or before you hit the ground. So I do think it clears some things up. Yes, there's some improvement to go over the next few years. I'm sure it won't be anytime soon, but it's a good place to start. Unlike the other rule that we just kind of disagreed on, or that we kind of disagreed with, this is a good start, wouldn't you agree? To something.
It's not a fix, and it's not perfect, but yes, it's a step in the right direction. I still don't like the fact that if you bobble the ball, that's not considered possession. When if you go, really, it shouldn't be this hard. Like, I listened to a podcast, Around the NFL podcast. One of their podcasters, Chris Wessling, makes a really interesting argument that, like, from the age of 2, we know what a catch is. It is you throw someone a ball or an object, and you haul it in, and you possess it. That's all a catch should need to be. But the NFL isn't there quite yet. If you bobble something and it's still in your possession, technically that's a catch, but not by the NFL rules. I still believe there are major problems, but this is definitely a fix, and I think you can build off of this. I like what they did here, and I like that you don't have to survive the ground, because that was the dumbest thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting tape on a piece of paper or something. It's a temporary fix. It's not going to last forever, but it is.
How do you permanently fix a piece of torn paper? I just thought about that.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about that, though. Think about that, though. I get the analogy, and people use it, like, a lot, but when you come to think about it, it makes, like, no sense.
No, it doesn't really make any sense, because you're never going to fix a real piece of paper.
No, you're never going to fix a piece of paper.
Using glue on a piece of paper, then, because the glue might fall off. Oh my gosh.
That's an interesting thing to think about, though, isn't it?
I didn't think about it before I said it. I kind of did, but not really. But I was like, I'll say it anyway.
Let's save it for the Torn Paper Podcast.
No, we can do the Torn Paper Podcast now.
Alright, well, yeah. Finish your thought.
No, that was my thought, pretty much. Okay.
So it's a nice temporary fix. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I'm looking at the rule. For some reason, some people have a problem with the 2 feet down rule. I don't. No. Like, I think that that's... I actually agree with that rule, especially on the sideline. And I get that it takes away some amazing moments or whatever. But, like, you should have to be able to get both feet down or a full body part down, like a knee or a butt or a thigh or a shoulder or all these crazy scenarios we've seen to make it be considered a catch. If you're in backyard football, maybe not. In the NFL, where you have all these athletes, you should be able to get both feet inbounds to determine the catch. That is one part of the catch rule that I think they have right and I wouldn't change.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree there. 2 feet need to be down. There's no excuse. There's just no excuse. If you only have 1 foot down, it's never been possession and it never should be. No. It's that plain and simple.
Moving on, another thing that came out of the owners' meetings was something... Now, this hasn't happened yet. Let's just make that clear. This rule change is, at this point, potential. It's nothing more than a bunch of owners talking. And I'm going to throw this to you really quick because my voice is dead and I need a sip of water. But there's talk of potentially taking the kickoff out of the game because of a risk of injury.
Yep. I
don't understand this at all, to be honest with you, but I'm going to throw it to you first. Just what are your general thoughts on if this happened?
It would go even further, getting closer to that Pro Bowl thing I was talking about earlier, because we know the NFL Pro Bowl doesn't have it because of safety. I just don't understand that. You don't really see that many safety problems coming out of a kickoff, even though NFL owners say there is. There's really not. You're going to get some hard hits to see somebody go down, but that's football. Get used to it. It happens. You sign up for it. And that's kind of my thought on the other stuff. Not just this one thing, but we'll keep it on this one thing. I don't think this would be a good idea. I just think it even lessens the rule, lessens the physicality. It lessens what you actually have to do in a NFL game. They're going to make it pretty much where you just, all you have to do is sit there and and you're going to get paid $1 million for football, to play the game, quote-unquote, even though you're not really doing anything, kind of, sort of. Of course, you should play your off-season. Your off-season to me is that you're playing your round. So, I... One part of me tells me, I see this a little, but not enough to say I would change the rule. I just don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I don't like this at all. I think that it was... I don't like Varul. I really don't. It takes a, like, we were talking about the fundamentals of football. Like, a kickoff is a fundamental part of a game of football, and if you take it out, that it hurts the sport. Yeah. And like, you also look at, like, at that point, then you have to cut down the rosters too, because like, half of the guys on an NFL roster are special teamers. And if you can't do a kickoff anymore,
wow,
that eliminates the need for special teamers. So I think, one, I don't think this is going to happen because, one, there would be too much fan outcry. And, two, the Players Association would have a fit, and if this were to happen.
I just, like I said, I don't think it'd be a very good idea. It's just going to lessen football. It's going to get a step closer, or it would get one step closer to being like the Pro Bowl. we're already 2 steps, or we're already 1 step closer after that rule today. Now this would be 2 steps closer to getting to the Pro Bowl like football game, which they should have seen how many fans really watched that game, because it wasn't that many. That was not a very very popularly watched game, so they should know they should not remove the kickoffs. You've already done enough damage to the league this off season. I wouldn't do this in the same off season.
All right. Yeah, so that was kickoffs in the league. Final thing, and you brought this up, so I'm gonna let you quarterback this if you're okay with that. Because yes. I don't know what to ask, but you have our final kind of thought before we finish up and give our final thoughts and a grade to football.
Yeah, well, this is a fairly broad topic, and this is really leads to the Colin Kaepernick thing more than anything else. And I don't really know the exact place to start off with this is, but I think let's lead it off by let's ask what. Do you think the league is on purposely not signing Colin Kaepernick? And I think we've kind of talked about this a little bit in a long time ago, but this is part of the yearly State of the Union. This is probably part of the yearly State of the Union, so I think it's deserving of talking about it again. And his name's been brought up, and he's not been signed. Brandon Whedon's been signed to the Houston Texans. So I guess I'm going to say this. A lot of people say that Colin Kaepernick's not being signed due to his discussions and all, or his protesting and all that. Do you agree or disagree?
I would say, well, your question wandered off.
I know.
I'll answer the first part of the question. Is Colin Kaepernick being blackballed? No, I don't believe that blackballing or collusion exists.
That was
in the
real
NFL.
Question in general.
I think that's a little bit far fetched. Now, what I do believe is that some teams, because of his political stances, are scared away by him and don't want to have him on their team. Now, is that discrimination? Yes. Is it blackballing and collusion? No. So it's still bad. It's still really bad. But people who call it collusion or blackballing, I don't think really understand the meaning of those two words. It's plain and simple discrimination. He's gone up against what a lot of these owners, who are mainly older, like white men, who are very conservative, believe in, and he isn't getting a job because of it. Now, to your second part of the question, do I believe Colin Kaepernick should have? Can I answer the second part?
I thought you were done. Never mind. Go ahead.
To the second part of your question, should Colin Kaepernick be in the league? Yes, he should be. He shouldn't be a starter, but he should be in the league as a backup player because he has that talent. He's a top 10 backup kind of quarterback. And the last time we saw him play, it wasn't starter level. It was like 31 to 32. But he can definitely be a solid backup, and he can definitely win you some games if your starter goes down. So I think that Colin Kaepernick should have a job in the league. Yes. I think he's being discriminated against. Yes. But he is not being blackballed, and there is no collusion in the NFL.
Oh, that's tough because I think discrimination for sure. Yeah, no doubt. There are teams. There's been too many quarterbacks that are really bad quarterbacks signed before Colin Kaepernick on teams that they scheme well with Colin Kaepernick, that they would, like Seattle or even Houston to a certain extent. You do have, because you have Deshaun Watson, that's closer to what Colin Kaepernick would be in the league. So yes, there is some discrimination for sure, but I think there's something going around the league that's saying that a team is not allowed to sign Colin Kaepernick. I really do, because there's just too many coincidences, and if it wasn't the case, we would already see Colin Kaepernick on a team. Not all 32 owners think that Colin Kaepernick's bad for the league, not bad for the league. Excuse me.
Right.
Go ahead.
Let me just ask you, Ben. You say that this notice or whatever that some NFL owner sends out across the league says,
or a league
don't
official.
I don't think league officials are involved. I don't think league officials have any sway on NFL owners, because when you look at it, but that's the way football stays from the higher level uncorrupt. Because when you think about it, the NFL doesn't own that much of their product. They own the rights. They own the players' rights, but the teams and what the teams do are physically owned by owners. So I think that even if an owner sent something out, like, that's not going to prevent your more liberal owners like Ozzie Newsome, like John Schneider, from reaching out and trying to sign Colin Kaepernick. If you do not have people saying, I don't think it's collusion or blackballing, because he did get workouts with teams. He did get tryouts with teams. Teams have him in their building. Teams gave him a shot, and they determined they didn't think he was a fit. And if some teams are going to say, we won't let you try out because of what our owner believes, that's not blackballing. Again, that's discrimination. So I just don't...
Right.
What
okay.
You're describing, in my opinion, I don't think that exists. I don't think it ever has a shot to exist in the NFL, just because of how diverse some of the ownership group is.
Okay, so do you really think that they're actually trying him out to actually be on the team, or
yeah,
is there something going around saying
you absolutely? Need to, or, you look at the Seattle Seahawks,
or they're trying him out, but they know they're not going to sign him. They just need to try him out. To keep quiet.
Absolutely not. You look at the Seattle Seahawks last year.
Yeah.
They absolutely needed a backup for Russell Wilson. Trevon Boykin, who, by the way, was cut. That's minor news. But Trevon Boykin was their backup, and they didn't believe in him, so they brought in Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick doesn't fit in Pete Carroll's system. That's just a football fact. And it's too bad, but he wasn't able to get a job there. And then you look at...
Then why did they bring him in?
They wanted to see if they could make him fit, and they can't. Tons of players go in for NFL tryouts every day, and tons of them don't make it. Colin Kaepernick just gets publicized because of his social views. I do believe there's discrimination, but I don't think... I think people fundamentally understand what blackballing and collusion is. Blackballing and collusion is all 32 owners got together and said, all right, no matter what, we're not giving this guy a job. And I just cannot believe that 32 NFL owners from 32 different backgrounds would all say, nah, we're not going to give Colin Kaepernick a shot. I just can't believe that.
I don't think it's too hard to believe.
Do you understand what collusion and blackballing is, though? Because I think you're confusing.
All 32 teams give him no chance. I know what you're saying.
Right, but teams did give him a chance. So it's not collusion. Teams gave him a chance. They let him come in. They let him try out.
They quote unquote gave him a chance.
But they gave him a chance, did they not?
I don't know if it was. Now
I don't think he's being blackballed.
In technical terms, no, it's not blackballing because they did bring the Seattle Seahawks did bring him in.
I definitely believe it's discrimination, and I think it's wrong, and I think Colin Kaepernick should have a job. But NFL teams aren't. Like, legally, NFL teams aren't doing anything wrong except for the part of discrimination, but they can hide behind the fact that it's a competitive league and the fact that he didn't play well going in to kind of cover up the fact that they're discriminating against Colin Kaepernick. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, and in technical terms, no, he's not being blackballed or there's no collusion because the Seattle Seahawks did technically bring him in. They brought him in to try out, even though I'm not sure if it was they were actually going to even consider signing him. Now, that's not, I don't know. I don't fully believe so. I think that if they brought him in, if they were thinking of giving him a chance, they were probably thinking unlikely. I just don't think he was good. I don't think he was given a fair chance. No, I don't think any team would, or I don't think, like Seattle Seahawks, I don't think they were actually considering bringing him in. I think they brought him in to do the tryout to say no. Pretty much, that's what I think could have happened. But it's not impossible. I'm not saying that it happened for sure. But I would lean towards discrimination, mainly based off just because of him getting the chance, technically.
I don't believe he's been blackballed. All right, you're still quarterbacking this discussion. What else do we want to discuss about kind of the NFL and the way politics is enrolled in it?
Well, really, there's not a whole lot to talk about. I mean, we can go with the... that was the main thing I wanted to talk about. That was really the only thing, unless you want to go with, like, the national anthem, but I think that's kind of calmed down, so I don't think we really need to talk about that.
And I think that ties in with Colin Kaepernick as well.
It does, yes.
So, I think we covered that part of it. Okay, so we're going to finish with a grade. We're going to give pro football a grade. And we're going to say, all right, football, you're doing well, or you're doing badly. And the grading scale is, of course, an F to an A. You have to give an explanation behind your grade. Chris, why don't you go first?
I'm gonna give a C. C plus. I'll go C plus because it's not an A, it's not an F. Based off of the off season, I think probably knocked them down a half notch because of the hitting rule, the hitting with the helmet rule, that was not a great rule. It was not a greatly formed rule. It was just a rule they put together, and that was it. It was a 10-minute put-together rule. I mean, anybody could put that together in 10 minutes. So I do knock them down for that, but they did make improvements on the catch, so I give them credit for that. So all in all, I would give them a C+. Just that rule has to knock them down some. I would say a B, but I'm going to go C+. What do you think?
I'm going to go B-. I think that the competitiveness of the league saves it. I think the fact that they've been able to kind of move the league to a more trade-oriented league helps it a lot. Before this season, I would have had right after the Super Bowl, I would have had the league at an A-. But it's a major drop off because of that rule, I might agree with you, yes, C plus, and I know what I said, but I still love football, and I have to give it a B minus, and yes, there are problems with parity, with the New England Patriots winning all the time, but that's not the NFL's fault.
Nope.
That's just part of the game.
I wouldn't be grading fandom. I'm not grading based off of my fandom of the league, so... if I were based off my fandom, I would still give it probably a B plus, something like that. But I'm not, so I can't say that.
Thanks for clarifying. As far as rules go, I think I'd have to agree with you. I think I'd have to go a C minus. It is not in the greatest spot right now. But as a fan, I still love it. And as a fan, to be honest with you, I'd have to give it an A. No, because I disagree with this rule. That's not true. I'd have to give it a B.
Yeah.
But I think that I am seriously worried about the state of football in America, because I do think this is kind of the beginning of the end, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it ends. And I'm still going to follow it. I'm still going to watch every game. I'm still going to pay way too much attention to the preseason. I'm still going to follow the NFL all day and all night, no matter what time of the year it is.
Yep.
But I do think this is kind of the beginning of the end for football. And I think it's just something that football fans, even the most hardcore of us, have to keep in mind, that there are problems with the game, and there are real life problems with the game that people are noticing, and that physically hurts the game. So I'd have to give the game overall a C minus. My fandom's still running strong with an A, though. So the fact that we've spent this much time on this shows you how much of an NFL fans we are. And by no means did I want this conversation to come off as I'm against the NFL. I'm not against the NFL. I love the NFL, and we're going to keep doing a football podcast because football's awesome, and I freaking love football. But
I agree.
You do have to, even the things you love, you have to be able to look at them objectively and say there are major problems with them.
Oh yeah, all in all, I'm going to agree. Yeah, there are problems. There's no doubt that you have several problems, but does that... Pretty much echoing what you said, kind of, sort of. Am I still going to be a fan? I'm not changing based off of these couple of rules. Now, at this point in time, I think what they do over the next 5 years is going to be majorly telling of what, or I'll say 3 years, what they do over the next 3 years, if this rule gets worse or better, as far as the hitting rule. That's going to define the league for a long time, because if it gets worse, the league is done, and we start it's funny, but we're going to start looking, people are going to start watching the XFL and all the other leagues that are coming out now more than the NFL. The only advantage is those leagues are in the off season of the NFL, so they do the NFL does have an advantage. Now I think that leads to a quick point. The NFL is still going to win ratings. It's still going to win ratings probably over at least the next 3 or 4 years or longer. But I'm going 3 years because I'm not thinking 10 years ahead. So the league will win the ratings. Nothing as far as the fan, besides that one rule the fans watching, nothing's going to really change, I don't think, right now.
Right. I think it might change a little bit this year. I think it has changed every year. I think it's gone down a little bit, but...
No major changes, I mean.
Yeah, nothing drastic that will force the league to, like, go bankrupt or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, that was a good discussion.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
My voice is dead.
We had fun discussion.
Yeah, give that episode B+. So it's been fun, Chris. I am dragging my vocal cords through the mud. But yeah, we will be back next week. You're getting this on Friday, or maybe I'll cave and put it up Thursday.
Something like that.
We won't be back until not this Saturday, but next Saturday, or Friday, or Thursday. We don't have an off-season schedule, basically. We just
record and post.
We just record. But our promise to you is we will have an episode every week, at least one.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Keep your eye on the feed. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. We tweet everything out there. Follow us on Twitter at ChrisPSF, at Eric ATA, Utah.
And that was different.
As
follow Eric at Eric 18 Utah, and I'll sign us off. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you next time.
Peace out.